Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, June 16th, 2016. It's just about 2:30 UTC as we're recording it. I am Sam Minter, and for the first time in a few weeks, we have Yvonne Bo with us. Hello, Yvonne. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hi. I had a couple of ridiculously eventful weeks.
Yeah, yeah, you had a bunch of things going on.
Yeah, I had way too much stuff going on.
And thankfully, no things this week.
Nobody sick, nobody else has died, nobody else got in a car crash, we've had just all of that happened in two weeks.
Yeah, so you had everybody in your family sick, you had a death in the family, unfortunately, and someone was in a car accident, too?
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah, no major injuries or anything.
And Manu got surgery.
Okay. And your son had surgery.
Yes.
What a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm glad everybody...
Everybody's fine. My son's asleep. Well,
except the grandmother.
Yeah, well...
But yeah, yes, everybody is fine.
Even her, look, she had cancer, okay? Mm-hmm.
This was your wife's grandmother.
Yeah, yeah. She had not been doing well. That gets to a point where, it's just the suffering is too much.
I guess that's the way things go. But from what you told me, she had a nice long life. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes, she did.
Anyway, the agenda for today's show. We are, of course, going to talk about the shooting in Orlando and the aftermath thereof. We are, of course, going to talk about election 2016. Those are going to be the two main topics of the show. We are also going to throw in a lightning round at the end for anything else that is still active on our minds, etc. So we'll probably talk about a little bit from Apple's WWDC event. We'll talk about this DNC breach, apparently by Russian hackers. We're going to talk about an alligator attack also in the Orlando area. Anything else that comes up, and we'll do that in a second. I did want to mention one other thing at the start of the show, just as a sort of a preview of next week. Just as a reminder to everybody, my daughter Amy got elected as a Sanders delegate to the state Democratic convention here in Washington State. That is coming up in a couple days. It's Friday through Sunday. We're recording this Thursday UTC, so very soon, coming up tomorrow, I guess, UTC. I will be going down there with her. That's in Tacoma, Washington. And so we'll be going down for Friday, Saturday, Sunday together. And she will be an actual delegate, of course. I will be a quote-unquote guest. I got myself one of these little portable recorder things, and I'll see if I can grab an interview or two. I don't know if I'll succeed, but maybe I will, maybe I won't. And so next week, expect a little bit of reporting and talking about how that ended up going down. I expect it'll be interesting, but not as interesting as if this was occurring still in the heat of the Democratic battle. That's over at this point, other than Sanders officially admitting it, which even that sounds like it won't be too long before it happens. Maybe even by the time you listen to this show, I don't know. Anyway, just a heads up, we'll be doing that next week. If anybody has any thing that you want me to specifically look out for while I'm there, drop a line on our Facebook page, maybe I will. There you go.
So I was going to make a comment. But just, about, I don't know if some of you may recall, some months back, We were making fun of, I was making fun of specifically of like old websites that went away. We're talking about how Google Plus, Friendster, some of these, you know, they're all, you know, like whatever, don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. So today I'm looking at the news. At first I saw this thing that said that Napster was coming back. I'm like, Napster is coming back. I'm like, what the hell? Like, who gives a damn, right? So then I see the story again.
Presumably it's just, you know, somebody using the Napster name for something new. It's not right, going to be correct. Bringing back
exactly.
what Napster
not,
was.
Not correct, yes. So that's what the story said. And then I found out that it gets even better. So they're saying that, first of all, they mentioned it in another story that the Rhapsody music service still exists.
Yep.
Which I was shocked to find out that piece of crap still exists, number one. Okay, all right. But that they're going to rename themselves Napster.
Ah.
And I thought, what an anticlimactic news story that is. I mean, really? You're a nobody, and you're going to rename yourself to has-been? How's that work again?
Well, you know, Napster, you know, went out of existence because they were, you know, lawyered out of existence.
Correct.
They were still very
popular.
They were very popular and had a certain cachet of being cool and rebellious. And they had the little cat logo thing that people, you know, so there's still like, you know, the name and the logo and all of that kind of stuff still have a certain cultural cachet that, you know, I guess they're trying to take advantage of. I doubt it'll work, but, you know.
I mean, it just seems, I get it, but it's like, yeah, it had that cachet and all that shit, like, you know, a long time ago, you know?
Yeah, it has been a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, nobody remembers this shit anymore. I mean, really?
Well, and especially, you know, if you're trying to do that kind of the type of attitude that it gave, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to appeal to, like, teenagers.
Right.
And, you know, I just looked it up. You know, Napster was started in 1999.
Yeah,
and
they shut it down like 2001, 2002.
Yeah, I'm trying to. It says it peaked in 2001.
Okay,
so that's a long time ago now.
Yeah,
and so teenagers today don't really remember 2001.
They don't know what the hell this was.
You know,
I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that this was like.
I mean, my daughter, who's 20 now, was 6 in 2001.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I guess I just thought, wow, this is just moronic. That's all I could think of. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... Yeah, they're... This is
rebranding costs so much money, right? I mean, if you're going to rebrand, for God's sakes... Shit. Not to something that like that. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Yeah, so, okay. We're going to get on to our main topics in just a second. We will take a break. I did want to mention one other thing first, which is we had some feedback on last week's show. Now, last week was a solo show. It was just me. But yet our feedback from last week's show mentioned both of us.
Okay.
I don't know if you've read this feedback on our site.
I don't think so.
This was from Clifford.
Okay.
Clifford's comment was, "You two are stupid."
Well, gee, Cliff. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate the comment. And that's all I have to say about that.
I mean, called stupid by a lot of people, so I don't know. Yeah, sure.
And, okay. You know, for many things, That is probably quite
true. That's probably true.
That's very true. I don't deny being stupid.
Yep.
You know? Anyway, I was actually amused by that comment. So thank you very much, Clifford. I will click like on your comment as as Curmudgeon's Corner. So I just did that. Thank you very much, Clifford. We appreciate the comment. In any case, we will be back and we'll kick it off with Orlando, the events there, the response to it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Back after this.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
I'm about to start up again. I was just stopping for a second.
Curmudgeon's Corner.
Whose corner?
Thank you. Okay, okay, off. Off.
AlexMxelA.com by Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary School by Day, YouTube by Night. Oh. AlexMxelA.com.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex.
No, I want to still be here.
You can't sit on my lap while I do my show. I can't concentrate and think.
So what are we going to talk about in this segment or the next one?
We're going to talk about somebody who shot a whole bunch of people in Orlando. And what everybody thinks about that.
Okay, I think it's literally horrible, but one thing I have to do, do.
Come on. Okay.
Everyone hear that on the podcast?
Yes, they heard. Okay, bye.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm good to help you in your segment.
I don't think we need help right now. Thanks, Alex.
I think we're good right now.
So, we're going to be in the next segment in 1 minute. What's this out on?
I need to get back to what we were doing.
Come on. Well, get back to what you were doing while we are here. Will anyone like some bird stickers?
Those are stamps. Okay.
Here. Anyone like bird stickers? How are these not stickers?
They are stickers, but they're stickers you use to mail things. You put them on an envelope, and then you can send them to somebody.
They're called stamps.
Does anyone here want a bird sticker?
No, they cost money, so don't use those stickers. They're a bit pricey.
Does anyone want a bird sticker? Dad, what's our next segment?
We're going to talk about the election after we talk about the shooting.
Okay, let's talk about the shooting then. Okay, so leave a comment in the podcast if you think you like at someone shot people. And if I see, yes, there's a like, then that must even be the person who even shooted. Right?
Yeah. Nobody likes that it happened.
Or violent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you like violent stuff, then you'll probably like that. But it's really not good. Never do that in your entire life. If you're thinking about doing that now.
Zip, 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 zip.
Huh?
Okay, here we go.
What?
What?
I don't know. Trump just accused U.S. troops of stealing money in Iraq?
Oh, yeah, that was earlier today. Okay, hold on.
What the fuck?
Okay, we are back, and it's time to talk about Orlando. So basically, just the high level, I'm sure everybody listening to this knows, a guy went into a gay nightclub in Orlando, shot 49 people and then, shot more than 49 people, killed 49 people, injured many, many more, and then killed himself. And he killed by the police?
I thought that the police actually, I thought the police came in and, okay. and wound up killing him, but.
Okay.
Neither here nor there, whatever. Maybe, he wound up being dead.
I thought anyway. He killed himself when the police were coming in to get him, but okay. It, unclear, whatever. He's dead too. And, then in the investigation, while this was going on, he called, the police, one of his friends and apparently somebody who worked in news, I forget exactly who it was, and told all of them that he was pledging allegiance to ISIS and he was doing this, because of that. But then after it all, happened, I guess, in the investigation afterwards, it's also come out, that, it looks like he might have been gay himself. He had frequented this club and others on numerous occasions. He was using gay dating apps. It also came out that he had a history of being abusive to an ex-wife. He had previously worked at a security firm, and his coworkers complained about him because he would repeatedly say things that were racist, say things that were homophobic, say things that implied he wanted to be violent, etc. And so there are a number of type of things there. So after this has happened, this set off the sort of usual back and forth, like everybody sort of immediately took sides. Like if you're looking at all the politicians, if you're looking at all of Facebook and Twitter and all of this kind of stuff, on the one hand, you immediately have the folks saying, you know, this is why we need gun control and let's talk about guns and this is crazy. We need to stop this kind of stuff. And then the other side saying, look at Islamic terrorism. We have to do something about that. And going in that direction on it. This one has the additional dynamic of the anti-gay aspect to it that sort of throws another wrench in the works. And so you have all the usual debates playing out. That we have, you know, whenever mass shootings happen, whenever terrorist attacks happen, we're seeing all of the usual suspects saying all the usual things. So, having given that introduction, you go to Orlando on a fairly regular basis, Yvonne, so this is fairly close to home for you. What do you think? What was your reaction?
Number one, the reaction, I will say, for me was probably more personal than you may think, in large part because about half of the people that got killed were from Puerto Rico.
Right. It was Latino night or something like that at the place.
It's not so much as Latino night. Look, Orlando has a massive...
Orlando was in general, but it also was a special event at the night
as well. But regardless, Orlando right now, Jesus, I go over there, it feels like being in Puerto Rico. There's like there's got to be close to a million Puerto Ricans right now living in Orlando area. They are the largest, like by far, a single group of people from anywhere that live there.
Right.
Like right now. It's like, I mean, if you go to Disney parks right now, it's like, I mean, the employees, I'm like, oh my God. You see like the badges, they say where they're from. I'd say the last time I went, I thought like 50% of the people I bumped into were from Puerto Rico that worked at the parks. I'm like, half of them came from Puerto Rico. I mean, it was like a lot, you know? You talk about a Latino night, I'm sorry, but yeah, we're talking about, I mean, Puerto Rico's only got 4 million people, okay, you know? Half of the people at this fucking club, I mean, they were all just, you know, the rest were distributed from a whole bunch of different places. So in Puerto Rico, there was a lot of mourning over this. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying, myself included, that, you know, reasons we leave Puerto Rico is to avoid violence like this. I mean, the murder rate in Puerto Rico is so bad. It's like, you know, 50 people like dead. I mean, sometimes that's like a stretch of a long weekend in Puerto Rico sometimes of murders. But, you know, the reason why people move to Orlando or places like that is because that shit doesn't happen that way anymore. I mean, I'm going to guess it probably like the, you know, like that those 50 murders are probably more than all the murders in Orlando in the last year. I'm going to hazard a guess.
I have no idea, but
based on the data, I mean, what I remember, I would say I would hazard a guess that that's you know, that's going to skew the statistics of murders in Orlando substantially for 1 year. It's a pretty safe area, and that hit close to home in a lot of ways. I looked it up. In 2015, actually, there was a lot more than I thought. There was a total in Central Florida, which that encompasses more than Orlando. It's a broader area. There was a total of 200 murders in the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you had 50 in one day. I mean, that's, you know, it's a huge, you know, jump in that. I mean, so, I don't know. I mean, there's so many aspects of this thing. Yeah, you've got the biggest thing, I think, out of all this is really the gay hate part of it. You know? I mean, it's obviously he targeted a place because it was gay.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the fact that, ISIS has targeted gays.
Yes,
specifically.
ISIS very much has targeted gays in the areas they control as well. Yeah. They've been, you know, throwing them off buildings and otherwise executing them.
Yeah.
So that's definitely ties in with the ISIS. But then you also have the fact that, this guy apparently had a personal vendetta, because it doesn't, from what has been said about him so far, it doesn't seem like he's coming from a place of deep religious conviction, until very recently, perhaps.
That's not even known for sure. I mean,
that's not known for sure. And
yeah.
Also, yeah, this is background. You know, his father was on TV like the day it happened, apologizing and that kind of stuff. But then it turns out, you know, his father is actually fairly closely associated with the Taliban. And is running for president of Afghanistan. So it's right. Like, what? You know, so and his father has also, you know, has had like a little video program he puts out where he's included plenty of anti-gay stuff. So, you know, and it's not to blame the dad for the actions of his kid or anything like that. But there's definitely a whole bunch of different influences happening here. And so a lot of things were probably going on in this guy's head. He's got the Islamic radical stuff. He's got the fact that he was probably homosexual himself, but didn't want to be, and was conflicted about that, and all kinds of other things going on. And now, of course, even if you throw all those things in the mix, you know, most people that fit all of those things I just said don't go and kill 50 people. But I guess he did. And so to get into, you know, the debates everybody is having about this, first of all, before we get into things like terrorist watch lists and specific gun control options and things like that, everything I'm hearing about this guy, sometimes when these things happen and they go and interview the people who knew them, they're like, oh my God, this was a complete surprise. I had no idea. He seemed like such a nice guy. It's like you hear that kind of stuff all the time. This time, everybody who's interviewed about this guy is like,
this guy was an asshole.
This guy was an asshole. He talked about killing people all the time. He was racist. He was sexist. He was homophobic. You know, he was always talking about, he would always talk about,
it was him. We're not surprised.
We're not surprised. The people who were working with him at the security company, at least one guy at the security company, is like, I quit because I didn't want to be near this guy because I thought he was dangerous. And I kept telling the company and they ignored me. So unlike some of these other cases, I mean, where you can say, okay, if you look carefully, the warning signs were there. This time you don't have to look carefully to see the warning signs. This guy was telegraphing it all over the place.
This guy was like, you know, this guy was apparently like a flashing fucking like warning board walking around.
He had been investigated by the FBI twice. And they'd found nothing that was significant enough to hold him. But, you know, he'd been brought, you know, he was, you know, he was setting off all kinds of red flags everywhere.
Yep. This guy was a red flag machine. No doubt about it.
And, you know, we can talk about, okay, should he have been allowed to buy a gun? But also, you know, is some sort of, completely aside from the gun question, should all of this behavior have triggered some other kind of intervention? And I'm not necessarily saying the guy was mentally ill and he needed to be committed or something. I have no idea about the technical definition of whether he had those kinds of problems, but there's clearly plenty of indications that he was potentially a danger. And it seems like in those kinds of situations, we should be able to do something. Now, I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm not advocating sort of some sort of pre-crime thing where we determine, you know, you haven't done anything, but we think you're likely to do something in the future. Therefore, we're going to lock you up. That's not right either. But maybe some sort of intervention could have reduced the chances of something like this happening. And I don't know what kind of intervention precisely would have done that, but it seems like there, with so many warning signs there, we really couldn't do anything to change this course.
Well, I think, I know that this gets into, one of the arguments going around, but look, the reality is there were a ton of warning signs. The problem was he hadn't done any outward act.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All he had done was talk.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. I don't think we should be, you know, taking action against people just for what they say.
I mean,
you have a fundamental right. Like, even if you want to say that, you know, you believe the right thing to do is violence, you know, I think, you know, many people would say, okay, that's over the line. But I personally think that even that should be protected speech. It's actions that we should
Look, it goes back to the problem that in this country, somebody like that has access to the kind of like weaponry that this guy was able to get his hands on in commit the level of death that he had, that he was able to achieve. I mean, and people say, oh, when people are determined, they can do anything. And what I said, listen, shithead, look, if all this guy had access was to butter knives, look, he may have killed I'm sure he'd kill a few people with butter knives. It sure as hell a lot harder than with a fucking machine gun like he had. I mean, the reality is that every country in the world...
By the way, people are arguing over the technical definition of what kind of weapon he had. So as not being a gun expert, I'm not going to even try to classify the weapon.
Listen, it was big and it was powerful. Okay, all right, forget about what fucking name you want to give it. You see that thing. Listen, if somebody walk up to you with that damn thing in their hands, are you scared shitless, Sam?
I would probably prefer not to be present in that location.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so come on, give me a break. Okay, this thing looked, when you look at this thing looked like a weapon of mass destruction, for God's sakes. I mean, I'm like, what the hell? You know, oh, we need those for hunting. It's like hunting what? What are you hunting? For God's sakes. I mean, good Lord. I don't know. You know, the thing is, like you said, there is nobody. I mean, there is just no rational discussion about this that can be done. Nothing's going to change. Listen, even with this, you and I have talked about this before. Every motherfucking time this has happened, we've had all the uproar, and nothing's fucking changed. And I don't know what the hell it's going to take.
Well, I'll tell you, and I did do my post on my website about this that was, let's see, what did I call it? Context and perspective. But the things that really annoy me about the kind of debate that's happening right now, like, look, I want to preface this by, I am not a gun person. I, for the most part, don't actually personally see any legitimate reason for civilians to have any gun. I'll be completely honest there. But having said that, the people who are, you know, right now they're doing a filibuster in the Senate talking about gun control. And I haven't listened to much of it, but I've listened to much of the commentary over the last couple of days. And several things annoy me. One is the concentration on these mass killings. The whole idea of specifically targeting mass killings is something to do something about, where I say repeatedly,
we just had 63 murders in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend, for God's sake.
Exactly. That's the kind of thing. You know? Like 50 people killed at once is a horrible thing, but it's no more horrible than 50 people killed separately. And we have that going on all the time. So I think anything that breaks out mass killings as a separate category and tries to target them separately is misguided and not, you know, looking at the right point. I think it's craven politics, because people obviously react emotionally, you know, very strongly to the 50 people killed at once. It's very visible. The 50 people killed separately happens all the freaking time, so it's kind of invisible, and people don't pay attention to it. It's just background noise. When something like this happens, people pay attention. So it's sort of, I view it as craven political opportunism to go after something targeting these mass killings, because as horrible as they are, they're a really small percentage of all homicides in the U.S. And as I pointed out in my post, if you're looking at it from the terrorism angle, that's an even tinier percentage. If you're going to target this kind of thing and look for what's effective and what's not, you want to be looking not at just mass killings. You don't even want to be looking at all gun deaths. You want to be looking at all homicides, and you want to be seeing, well, how can we bring that down? Because we are way higher than other sort of quote-unquote comparable countries. I put in the stats here. It's 45 per million in the U.S., compared to 19 per million for Germany, France, and Canada, 13 per million for the UK, 8 per million for Japan. So obviously we're way higher than all those, so we can do way better. But if you do the comparison, we are about half of what we were in 1980. Less than half of what we were in 1980. There has been a dramatic downward trend, at least since 1990, in the homicide rate in the U.S. We're heading in the right direction, and it sort of pisses me off every time that, you know, when these things happen, people, from the coverage of it, you'd think that we had a really big problem that was getting worse. We don't have a really big problem that's getting worse. We have a big problem. You know, our homicide rate is too high, but it's been trending in the right direction for decades.
It has been trending in the right direction. You're absolutely right.
But specifically on the mass killings. So what this leads you to is, for instance, there's a lot of talk specifically about bringing back the assault weapon ban. And I completely understand the notion of, you know, completely separate from the stats.
It's not going to remove all the damn assault weapons that have been sold out there.
But my point, though, is that the number of murders committed with these kinds of weapons is actually relatively small. Now, yes, I could argue that I don't see what's the legitimate use for this particular kind of weapon. And of course, some gun folks will come back and tell me what the legitimate use is. But a lot of people are making the argument that, come on, you don't need this for hunting. It's not the best weapon for hunting. It's not the best weapon for self-defense. It's not this, it's not that. So what's the harm in banning sales of this type of weapon? And while I will generally agree with that argument, at the same time, I look at it and say it's such a small portion of the total deaths here that going after this, it's purely political. It's purely symbolic. It's not something that's actually going to solve
anything. I'm not going to say it's purely political, because the reason I say it's not is because if you look at a lot of the big event, I know that in the total number of deaths, like you've mentioned, it's a small percentage. But the times that we have really big events, most times they include a weapon like this.
And I don't deny that. That's the nature of these kinds of events. If you're going to kill 50 people, like you said, you don't do it with a butter knife.
Right.
You know,
you get one of these fucking things. Okay. But, and that's how you do it with.
But at the same time, like I said, it's a small portion of the overall project. I think saying it's craven politics, at the same time, I understand the craven politics. Basically, the Democratic argument here is we have a higher chance to sort of whip up frenzy about these kind of events and these kinds of weapons. And if we can get a victory on this,
right,
maybe it opens the door to other things.
It helps to get somewhere.
The notion is, okay, maybe it's not the biggest effect, but it's probably the one that's closest to being politically doable, because, you know, you would have a hell of a lot bigger effect if you went after, you know, small handguns.
Yeah, agreed.
But
we're not going to get that.
But so those are very popular. Lots of people own them. Lots of people feel very strongly about their right to own them. However, when you look at these kinds of weapons and you look at, you know, allowing them if you poll about these kinds of weapons specifically, a majority of people agree with the concept that maybe we'd be okay banning them. Also, when you poll about things like additional background checks and things like that, most people agree on those. So whenever an event like this comes up, even though it's statistically relatively small, you know, it's something that Democrats feel give the opportunity to perhaps get something moving. And something is better than nothing. So I understand that. But at the same time, I just get annoyed when people talk about, like, the assault weapon ban as if it's going to make a big, huge difference in overall gun deaths. You know, and no. I mean, it's a symbolic victory.
It's symbolic, but yet at the same time,
I know sometimes symbolism matters.
Yes. And you know what? Not for nothing, but if this guy wouldn't be able to get an assault weapon, I mean, this would not have been as bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, and the thing is about this, the one thing that why I'm like, I understand where you're coming from and the numbers, the symbolism and that kind of stuff. But look, the one thing I could, aside from that, I could just simply say, look, I mean, there's no need for these fucking things. There's no need for any civilian doing one of these. I mean, if just for the fact that, okay, look, just to save like 80 lives, 100, whatever the number is, no matter how small against it, why the fuck not? Could we just do it? It makes no sense anyway to have them out there. Let's just do it. I know it's not eliminating the problem, but you know what? For you and me, like whatever. But you know, 50 people are 50 people are 50 people. You know, fuck. If I can save 50 people, I mean, by just getting Congress to just go and like fucking pass a bill, for God's sakes, isn't it worth it?
Here's the trade-off that you have to put that, you know, I generally speaking agree with you, but the trade-off that the pro-gun control crowd never seems to fully take into account is that there is a very significant portion of the American public that would view any restriction on their gun rights as a fundamental assault against their liberties.
I know.
And so what you have is you do have a trade-off there. Maybe you do save those 80 lives or whatever, and you know, you have to take into the fact that it really is a small number that you would potentially be saving through that kind of ban, not like, you know, cut the murder rate in half or something. You have to balance off the fact that do you really want to take 30 or 40% of the American public or however large the portion is and make them feel like they're completely alienated and under siege within this country? I mean, they already sort of feel that way. I mean, that's what Donald Trump feels that way.
They're going out and they're buying weapons in like record numbers. They keep accusing the president that he's going to go in the middle of the night and take all their guns away. I mean, at all of this shit. So what? They already feel that. Fuck them. Honestly. It doesn't matter what the hell they do. They keep saying the same shit anyway.
Here's what I think on that. I mean, fundamentally, look, yes, they already feel alienated. This would make it worse. And I think there's such a fundamental divide in American society right now. It's problematic, and it gets more problematic. We should be doing things to try to bridge that divide, not make it deeper.
The original assault weapons ban.
Yes.
Was passed, if I recall, by a Republican Congress.
Yes. Okay.
So
I don't remember one way or another.
I think it was. They could look that up. So, you know what? These fucking people, in my perspective, could go suck it. I'm sorry. I'm through really worried about their fucking feelings. Okay? Because everybody else does, and then, you know what, 65% of Americans are having to be held hostage by this 35 fucking percent. The hell with them. They don't give a shit about everybody else. Why the fuck should I give a fuck about them?
The reason why you should give a fuck is if you have a society where 30-some percent of the population feels so alienated and out of place, then over time, that's going to cause a lot more problems because, you know, frankly.
But they are feeling alienated regardless whether anything is done or not.
It can get a lot worse.
You know what? Maybe for some things it needs to get worse before it can get any better.
Maybe. I'm just saying it needs to be a factor in the calculation. And the place where you have to be with this is what the folks on the left call, you know, reasonable regulation. And this is frankly where I am. And if you poll the American people, most Americans are in this position before you start labeling it and politicizing it, which is impossible to avoid, especially especially in an election year, but really any time. You know, if you ask them about specific things like background checks, most people approve of them. If you ask for, in terms of waiting periods, most people don't mind the idea. You know, there's a core group that really does believe that they should be able to go into a random store and walk out with a gun with absolutely nothing else going on. But most people agree, hey, let's do a background check. That's fine. Let's do this. That's fine. I think the Republicans are sort of I actually think they have some points, but I think they're on the losing side of the battle when they're saying, you know, being on the terrorist watch list shouldn't keep you from buying a gun. You know, because most people hear that and are going like, what? You know, you're talking about a known Al-Qaeda sympathizer or whatever, and you're just like, okay, they can have a gun, no problem. Now, the Republican point on that, or many people's point on that, not just Republicans, is, look, the watch list as a whole, there's no transparency on it in terms of how you get on it, how you get off it. That's all secret. There's no appeals process. In general, there's no quote-unquote due process. And so, like,
you would have to put some due process behind that.
Yeah, like, if you were going to do, I mean, it's already bad enough that you can't get, that people on this list can't get on an airplane, perhaps.
Right.
You know, and they estimate, like, there are potentially up to 1 million people that are on these various watch lists. That's a lot of people, and not all of them are actually terrorists.
Right.
You know, if we had 1 million actual terrorists, you know, out there, we would be in a lot more trouble than we are. You know, so, you know, I don't necessarily object to the idea of having some sort of, hey, you're on a list that's, there are certain restrictions on you. But if we have that, then we need to have an open process to understand exactly why people are on that list. It should be public. Like, you know, if I get added to a list, I should be notified that I got added to a list and be able to involve my lawyer and appeal it in some way. It shouldn't be like this big secret thing. Until you solve all of those kinds of problems, I actually agree that, you know, using the terrorist watch lists to restrict gun purchases is not necessarily the best of ideas. But at the same time, I don't disagree if you step back from the specific implementation and say, should a guy like this guy who was, had been investigated multiple times, had all sorts of contacts, was scaring his friends and coworkers who thought he had the potential of being violent, should that guy be able to go in and get a gun, no questions asked, or very few questions asked? Hell, he even had a job where he was required to carry a firearm.
Right.
He was employed as an armed security guard.
Well, those background checks really make me feel safe. Make sure, you know, when I look at the next time that I look at a Wackin' Hut guy, G4S, I'm really not going to feel all that great.
If I look at all of the stuff we knew about this guy, I it's hard to argue and say that, yeah, you know, I would sell him that gun.
Exactly.
You know, look, so I don't know, that there has to be some sort of middle ground that can be found. And I think the answer to finding that middle ground is looking at these things that poll with 60-70% support and say, how can you break the logjam to actually do something that 60-70% of the American people approve of? Now, one interesting development, and we'll talk presidential election next, is, you know, Trump tweeted earlier today he was going to go meet with the NRA and talk to them about, you know, banning gun sales to people on the terrorist watch list. And so you have the Republican presumptive nominee actually agreeing with the Democratic position here and going against the NRA position. Which throws an interesting dynamic into the mix, but I suspect that you're still going to have your exactly as you've said before, we're going to have the usual thing where we talk about this for a while, nothing happens. I think that fundamentally nothing is going to change with that dynamic as long as you have a Republican House and Senate. Now, with the way this election is going, that might only be till January, but who knows? You know, and even then you have to get past Senate filibuster type of things as well. So you may need a supermajority in the Senate. But the way things have been going with filibusters, you know, they've proven the nuclear option exists and it can be thrown out. So I'm not sure I know that in 5 years from now we'll even still have a filibuster in the Senate. But anyway, I suspect that the end result is indeed that nothing happens here, as usual.
Standard operating procedure.
Because this is just one of those issues where the American political process is at a stalemate, because the two sides of this debate, neither one is strong enough to, you know, well, the gun lobby is strong enough to stop any changes that want to happen here.
Right.
But you know, at the flip side, I don't think there's a lot of strength in most places for loosening things further either. Although that has been happening in individual states, taking the federal government out of it a little bit. Gun laws have been tightening in blue states and loosening in red states. But okay, anything else to say on this before we move on?
No, let's move on.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this. And we're back, and it's time to talk about the presidential race.
Okay.
Did you know one's happening?
I've heard such a thing. Yeah.
Since you and I last talked, I mean, I've talked a little bit about this, but Trump clinched the nomination, Clinton clinched the nomination, so it's as official as it's going to get until we get to the convention. Yes, meteors could strike or other unlikely events could happen that change it, but we've got Clinton versus Trump.
Yep, we've got Clinton versus Trump.
Sanders.
Sam called it. It was just called.
Yep.
Called
yep.
I called something else.
You thought Rubio.
Yep.
But you didn't think Sanders. I'll give you that. You got Clinton.
Right. Yeah, I got Clinton. But I still can't fucking believe it's Clinton versus Trump. But anyway.
Yeah. Now, and we'll get to in a minute. There have been some dump Trump comments, but let's start with Trump. He's had, and I talked a little bit about this while you were gone the last 2 weeks, but
he has had
an exceptionally bad time these last few weeks.
I mean, he's been doing awful. I mean, as far as I can tell, I mean, the man is a walking disaster area.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, on my election graph stuff, this is state by state stuff with averages that at this stage in the race last weeks at the minimum, even for heavily polled states. So it's lagging a bit, right. It's still showing some strengthening for Trump. But if you look at the much more reactive national polls, which of course are not how we hold elections, but unless it's close,
the data is more recent.
The data is more reactive to quickly changing events.
This is Sam from the future here. I go on and talk a little bit about the national polls and them moving more quickly, and you know, and then we talk about the national polls some. Since I recorded this episode a little over 24 hours ago, There's been yet another state that has gotten better for Trump. And enough of these have happened now, and looking at the individual polls within them as well, it's actually looking like we really do have a situation where a number of states are actually getting closer. States where Clinton had very significant leads, over 5%, but those leads have shrunk. And it looks like that has actually been happening. In the last few weeks on electiongraphs.com, we've seen Florida, then North Carolina, then Pennsylvania, and now Virginia all move in this direction, going from what I classify as strong Clinton states, where her lead is between 5 and 10%, down to weak Clinton states, where her lead is between 0 and 5%. So it's actually looking more and more like we really do have a situation where, even though the national polls are showing Trump falling further and further behind, at the same time, he's actually strengthening in specific states. And this is a very interesting pattern. There may be some methodological things why this might be an illusion. There just aren't enough polls, and maybe there was a big move in Trump's direction, and now it's moving back towards Clinton, but we didn't see that big move towards Trump or something. But the more of these happen, the more it looks like it actually might be a real thing. And there are a number of ways you can imagine the national polls moving in a different direction than individual state polls. It's certainly possible. But it's looking more like that's really what's going on, which is just weird. It'll be interesting to see if it continues. Hey. Anyway, back to the show.
I'm interrupting real quick.
Basically, the last few weeks, Trump has been collapsing. Yep. It's been pointed out in a couple places that he is the lowest he's been in the polls since almost a year ago, since last July or so.
Yep.
And I've even heard a couple people say, although I have not verified this, that he's currently at around 38% in the polls. And apparently this is the lowest that a major candidate has polled in the presidential elections going back decades.
I don't know
exactly how far, but going back decades for a candidate who's already clinched the nomination.
Right. I mean, I thought so too. When I saw that average, I said, wow, that seems so low.
And
I think that if you go back, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, when it was Romney and Obama, I mean, you know, certainly Romney was polling in the mid 40s for sure. You know,
I think
so was McCain.
Yeah, I think most of the time that was true.
Was Kerry, who lost, you know, in 2004, and, you know, Gore Bush was pretty close.
So
if I go Dole wasn't getting killed either.
Yeah. So the margin between the two candidates is about 7%. Right now it's, I'm looking at Pollster right now, not RCP that we sometimes look at on right. Pollster. It's Clinton 44.5 to Trump 38.9 at the moment, in the nationals. Now I'll point out, I mentioned, you know, on electiongraphs.com, you know, it still seems like Trump is trending up a little bit, but to be clear, he's way fucking behind anyway. You know, the thing that's shown is a couple of states are getting a little closer, but he's not doing well there either. Now, again, to provide context, electoral college wise, it looks like he's doing somewhere between how McCain did and how Romney did. He has not yet collapsed further, but that
polling is slower.
The polling is slower to react because, you know, most states only have, well, most states have no polls or very few polls. But the critical states that matter, I mean, even the relatively heavily polled states, you know, at most are getting one poll a week. And so it'll take a while for, you know, state level pictures to reflect a rapid, you know, if Trump is undergoing a rapid collapse, then it'll take a little while for the state polls to show that. The way things are trending, you know, he has to pull up from this nosedive. There's no indication that he's pulling up from the nosedive.
No,
he's doubling down
on
everything.
And here's the thing. You know, we were talking about how Trump, a number of people talking about his mastery of manipulating the media and blah, blah, blah. But one thing that I've realized over the last 2 weeks, especially as Clinton is clinched and Obama has basically moved into a campaign mode.
Yeah.
There is no better pulpit than being POTUS.
Yeah.
Because you could be Trump and do whatever you want. But
and
you
Obama's
know what?
Good at it.
And Obama's good at it. You got fucking Air Force One and you're POTUS. You can fucking negate any other Trump. I mean, once Obama started going out to the airwaves and talking, I mean, I don't know if you've seen, he's basically like fucking like just shoved Trump off the fucking like TV. Okay.
Well, and also one thing that was noted by a couple of people on Twitter earlier today, I was busy doing other things, so I didn't hear I wasn't watching the actual cable coverage, but it was noted that the cable networks, all of them, were covering a Trump rally and broke off in the middle for a Clinton speech.
Wow.
And at least one person on Twitter responded, "Welcome to the general election."
Right.
Because now you've got, it's not just Trump versus a bunch of other boring Republicans. It's Trump versus Clinton. The media has to look fair. And the media wants the fight. And so they want that contrast. And at this point, Clinton is just as likely to start insulting Trump, you know, I mean, not in the same way that he does. I mean, her insults have mostly been quoting him.
Right, exactly. It's not very hard. Just, you know, I'm not insulting you. I'm just taking you quotes verbatim. And then, of course, he's gotten angry at people. That's not what I said. I'm sorry. Here's the transcript, you asshole. You said it. There, one thing that really works against him in this thing is that he won't shut up.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, you know, one of the things that has happened is he's given a number of speeches on teleprompter now. A couple of them have been really flat and boring.
Oh, they're awful. He's awful.
He's not good on the teleprompter.
No.
But, you know, after the first couple, people were like, oh, great. By people, I mean Republican elected officials who were sort of like, my God, we've got to get this guy on a leash. Where we're sort of like, you know, he's doing better now that he's on the teleprompter. He's talking evenly. He's not being crazy. And then like the third or fourth speech he did on the teleprompter was this reaction to Orlando. And he started saying all the same shit. He was just reading it off his speech. And so you could just see the collective slap of the forehead. By the congressional Republicans and such, going, oh my God, he's still doing it. Because he brought back the discussion of, he had sort of backed off a little bit from the comments about, not letting any Muslims into the country and all this kind of stuff. And he went right back there.
And then he made those comments. But the thing is, contrary to before, right? You know how he was when he was saying this in December, he would like manipulate the airwaves of this shit. So he said this. And so the next day, both Obama and Clinton just fucking like, I mean, because Obama completely freaking like ripped him apart. But it wasn't just that he ripped him apart, because you had other candidates trying to do that, but they got no coverage. All right. Obama did it. And it was, you know, boom, plastered everywhere.
Right.
All right.
And meanwhile, of course, you've got the usual thing of like, okay, he's going on about, not letting Muslims into the country. This guy in Orlando was born here.
He was born in the U.S.
He was a citizen. Asshole. Yes, his parents were from Afghanistan.
So that's why I said the whole going back to the HUAC now. But, you know, anyway, which apparently you pointed out that apparently some people are apparently advocating for that.
House on American Activities Committee, of course.
Yep.
And yeah, so I mean, and the thing is, what Trump is finding out very quickly. Well, I don't know how self-aware he is. I'm not sure he's all
I
that
don't think
self-aware.
He's very self-aware at this point at
but
all.
What's happening is it's very clear that the kinds of things, and this is kind of like a duh, the kinds of things that appeal to the Republican primary audience are not the kinds of things that appeal to Americans in general.
Right.
And so every
not to a majority of Americans.
Yes, like of course.
So let's say in general, because you're still talking about 30 some odd percent people that are saying they're supporting this jerk off. Okay, all right. Now, I will say this, that there was something that came out the other day that even at that 37%, they were saying that, and I found this shocking, that Clinton support is far more enthusiastic than Trump support at 37.
Hmm.
Which I was like, what? Really? I believe that I was actually listening to Bloomberg this morning, and they were talking about the survey results, their poll results, and that was one of the things that they were, when you dig into the numbers, that they came to, that they found out that they were like shocked, and they actually were, they said, listen, this was actually shocking. We actually expected the opposite.
Right. Yeah, and you don't have all the Sanders folks, quote unquote, coming home yet. Now, of course, some of them may not, but all the polls say a majority will.
I'm going to tell you something, that it's, look, I was just looking at some of the numbers you said that on Sam had pulled up the information on some of the recent the national polls on Pollster, and one of the things that it seemed like, you know, that the biggest difference between some of the polls that happened over the last few days wasn't the Trump support. The Trump support was kind of like 30. We were averaging like 38%, like as you mentioned, you know, in that range. Okay. The one thing was with the undecideds, but the one thing is that you looked at the undecideds, it seems like when the number of undecideds in certain poll like reduced, it seemed like for the most part it went to Clinton. Mm, it wasn't right. Going to Trump. Trump's number stayed a lot. Clinton's number is the one that jumped, and it seemed like a lot decided. But those undecided people, it seemed like when they broke, they were breaking for Clinton.
Right. So here are a couple numbers looking into some of the breakdowns of that sort of get to me a little bit. Like, here's one that in the CBS poll, if you look at white men, it's 51% Trump, 31% Clinton. And as a white man myself, I'm like, what the fuck? I am ashamed to even be part of that group. If there's a 20% lead for Trump among white men, really?
It's not a good time to be a white man in America.
And looking at others in that same CBS poll, whites in general, Trump is leading by 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Men in general, Trump is winning by 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, a shame to be a man.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Pathetic. I know. Pathetic.
White evangelicals, Trump is leading by 45%.
The least evangelical person on earth, okay, all right, is getting this kind of evangelical support, which to me is that's just mind-blowing.
Whites without a college degree, Trump wins by 21%.
Gee, what a shocker.
And independents, he's actually winning by 2%.
Mm.
Meanwhile, if you break things down by age, Clinton is ahead in all age groups. some others, Clinton is ahead by with moderates by 19 degrees.
I guess the thing is there's more Democrat. Well, there are more Democrats than Republicans registered.
Yeah.
So that you know.
But whites with a college degree, which I'm in that group as well, Clinton leads by 21%.
Thank God.
White women, Clinton wins by 8%. Women, Clinton wins by 19%. And what do you think the margin is among African Americans?
Oh my God. Let's see. I'm going to guess that 90-10.
Let me do the subtraction. You're a little high. The Clinton lead among African Americans is 73%.
Yeah, close enough. What about his 73%?
I don't see a breakdown of Hispanics. I'm sorry.
You know,
it might be there, but so, I don't see it right here.
Yeah, so I don't see, you know, like, I mean, you know, yeah, that those, that black men are going to be voting for Trump anytime soon.
Oh, but you were out last week when we talked about his My African American comment.
Oh, God. Yeah, but, who apparently turned out later to say, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm not a supporter.
No. The person was actually very much a Trump supporter and is actually running for office as a Republican.
Okay. I thought I heard somewhere in something that
maybe that's a different one, because apparently there were two African Americans he was referring to. He was talking about the African American at his previous rally when he saw an African American at his current rally, and that's the person he said my African American to. But he was in the process of talking about the African American at his previous rally. Having said that, like I said, however, as I said when I talked about this originally, the fact that he's pointing out two people out of whatever crowd there was, says everything.
I sent Sam the statistic that I'd found the other day about the Republican convention, let me see the numbers if I can pull it up. Apparently, that, if I remember correctly, the right number was that a total of like 18 delegates total are currently registered that are African American going to the Republican National Convention,
right,
which is the lowest percentage ever. Okay, of African American delegates going to the RNC.
And to be clear, that's out of just under 2,500 delegates.
Yeah, 2,000 something. Gosh, really? You want to talk about what about a non-inclusive party? When 18, that's it. That's all you got. I mean, you know, there were in the article, they were saying that, you know, back in 2000, okay, GW had managed to get 160. And back then they were saying that it was, that they were so going out of their way that it was kind of like fake or whatever, whatnot. And they were like, wow, you know, that now thinking back, it's like, damn, that was real outreach. You know, they got up to 160 people. This is like, now it's like 18.
So the one thing, I talked about this a little bit last week, and, you know, it's getting late for Yvonne, so we won't go too long here. But, you know, there has been some renewed talk of trying to dump Trump at the convention. I think these are long shots.
Wishful thinking.
I think it's wishful thinking. The one exception I could give is if the last 2 weeks end up being the next month before the convention, and we get into the week before the Republican convention, and he's losing to Clinton by 30% or something in the national polls.
Maybe he does go and shoot somebody on Park Avenue.
Yeah, wasn't it Fifth Avenue? Anyway.
Fifth Avenue, whichever. One of them. Right.
You know, or if something like that happens, or, you know, he's basically completely and totally imploding in an undeniable way, okay, maybe. Again,
some people are worrying that he may have, like, a freaking, like, mental breakdown. And it's not unprecedented. They were talking, you know, there was an article that I had posted on my Twitter feed, and you guys can look, this is about a month ago, a Vanity Fair article about 25 years ago of how Trump was dealing with when his empire was collapsing and he almost went broke, and that he did basically have a breakdown, okay, that he was holed up in Trump Tower and, like, was just, you know, just completely out of it for a period of time. It just wasn't, you know, talking to anybody or anything.
And his whole self-image and his whole way of projecting himself is all about being a winner and being great and being whatever. And if he goes through a continued cycle where he's losing and he's losing badly, and he's losing worse than anybody has in ages. Yep. And, you know, you know, how will he react to that? And I'm guessing not well.
Yeah. You know, his speeches at during the entire primary campaign were talking about how he's winning and how he's beating everybody in the polls, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? That talk right now doesn't work, does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell is he going to talk about in the talk track? What?
No. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the dump Trump scenario is that we get into the week before the convention and things are looking really, really bad. And it looks absolutely clear that Trump is going to lose. And even people who had been enthusiastic Trump supporters are starting to peel off. If you get into that scenario, then you can have the possibility of the rules committee at the convention suggesting a change to the rules to unbind the delegates and potentially have a vote of the delegates on whether or not to unbind themselves. And then we start getting into play all of the things we talked about, you know, months ago, where a lot of the people who are bound to Trump weren't actually Trump supporters. There were a lot of Cruz supporters in there. And they could vote to unbind themselves and then vote for whoever the fuck they wanted, instead of voting for Trump. Now, the problem with that scenario is that there potentially is going to be a huge backlash from the Trump people if you tried to do that. And, you know, it would take sort of political willpower that has not been in evidence so far, because you would have to have people willing to say flat out, we know what the Republican voters decided. We don't give a fuck. We're going to do this anyway. And suffer the backlash that comes from that. And again, so the only way I believe that actually becomes a viable scenario is if things are so bad for Trump that even the diehard Trump supporters are abandoning him anyway, because then maybe you start seeing that kind of possibility. But I think it's a long shot at this point. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. I think that would be amazing to watch if that actually happened. It would further accelerate the disintegration of the Republican Party. You know, you can't do that and come out intact.
No,
you get
definitely not.
You get the Trump people protesting in the streets and doing riots, and it would be a freaking mess.
Right.
Okay. Anything else to say about the presidential race other than, you know, Trump is in trouble at the moment?
Yep. No, nothing else.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe by the time we talk next week, he will have pulled out of this nosedive and everybody's talking about how it's getting close again. Like I said, it may be like the last thing the press wants is an uncompetitive race. They want it to be competitive.
I know they want a competitive race. They may want it. But, you know, the thing is, look, it's very difficult when you keep saying shit like you've been saying and acting like, I mean, I think the president made him sound, you know, look, it's like, think about what you want. America, is this, you know, this is so un-American. This is what you want. And he said it in a very articulate way. And not just that, it got blasted through every channel and every network and every news media. I mean, you know, he's very good at it. It's kind of hard, you know, for him to like, fight through that.
Right. And I guess a part of the question there too is, do any significant portion of Republicans who decide they're sick of Trump actually end up going to Johnson or other third parties, or do they just decide to stay home?
I think they're going to decide to stay home.
In some cases, do they actually go over to Clinton? Because, you know, you do have the Republicans really hate Clinton. You know, so it's really hard for them to go there.
No, I would say that they probably, it's more like, usually these things cause people to stay home more than anything else.
Right. Okay. If by the way, if you had been right about Rubio, Rubio might even be ahead in the polls at this point.
Could be.
Because people actually liked Rubio. People don't like Clinton.
Right.
You know, he was sort of, he was fairly conservative, but he had the demeanor of being reasonable. You know, people liked him. If this was Rubio versus Clinton, we would not be seeing Clinton as far ahead as she is, and she might even have been behind. But the Republicans didn't pick Rubio. The Republicans didn't pick Bush. The Republicans didn't even pick Cruz. They picked Trump.
They picked the Trumpster.
Woohoo! And here's where you go. But, it's a long way to November. It's too early to call this over. All kinds of things could happen.
Okay, well, one thing about the election, maybe this is election related. What do you think about this whole Assange thing that says that he's going to release these emails?
I only saw the one tweet. I don't know anything more about it. I didn't get a chance to read anything. I say if he does release something, let's see what he's got. What he's got.
That's what I think, because every other stuff that he really released has been like yawners, to be honest with you. He's like almost like, I mean, his statement was like,
well, has he released anything Clinton related before?
State Department
released the things that were leaked from what's his name, that guy that Clinton corresponded to occasionally.
The guy he corresponded, I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, anyway, there was some person that Clinton occasionally corresponded with, and they hacked his email, and that got leaked, and I think Assange was involved in, I don't know. Anyway, you're right, like, for the most part, this is a big yawn. At least, nothing that has been released so far in terms of emails coming from Clinton have been explosive.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that the next one won't be. But
so far, I mean, so far, I just, you know, they haven't been.
My bottom line gives me the indication that
would have changed.
My bottom line is there's no use speculating over what Julian Assange may or may not have. If he's got something, show what it is, and then we can evaluate it and see what it is. And if it is something devastating to Clinton, all the more interesting. Let's bring it on.
I'm not holding my breath on that one.
It maybe he does. I mean, I don't know. But
no, it's just been.
When did he say he's releasing it?
I don't know when. But my thing is that anything that he has released before has been like gossipy and interesting, but devastating. No.
Well, for Clinton specifically, you mean, right? Because the original, the big WikiLeaks dump that made the site famous included some substantial stuff, but...
Well, but my thing is that it was like, to me, it was like... It seemed more like interesting stuff more than devastating stuff. It's not like any... Unlike, for example, the Panama Papers. I mean, there was like presidents that resigned over the Panama Papers. Okay, all right? I don't recall anybody being fired or resigned over anything that that WikiLeaks produced. It was juicy and it was controversial, but not like, shit, I'm resigning my presidency. Bad.
Yeah. You know, well, Bradley Manning went to jail. Manning, I should say. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying about that. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, implications. So, yeah.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back real quick with just a handful of random thoughts on a few things. Back after this.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook!
Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook and you actually, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes and it'll help us reach more new people too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Okay, here we are. A couple other things. Wait. No, I'm not finished.
I know you're not finished your podcast, but you thought you were finishing with a segment.
I did finish a segment, and I was starting the next segment. I only break for a few seconds in between them, usually.
Can it be my turn again to do a segment just in case if they forgot?
Tell you what, when we're done and it's time to say goodbye, I'll let you help say goodbye.
No.
I'll call you when it's time.
No, come on. Can I just do this segment with you?
No.
Only one.
You can read your website address again, and then we'll start.
Wow, we are started.
Yes, it's recording. Go ahead.
Hello?
He's closing the door before he...
A-L-E-X, just in case if you forgot, by the way, alexmxela.com, by Alex and Dad. Don't do and Alex and Dad, by Alex and Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong one. Gaming, videos, and more from Alex. Elementary school by night.
Hey.
Why did I say night? YouTube by day.
So there you go.
It's a night. It's supposed to be night. alexmxela.com.
Yep. alexmxela.com. But you have to spell it. So it wasn't necessarily the best name we could have picked because you kind of have to spell it.
Oh my God, yes, it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, all right.
Okay. Back to the hallway, or even better, go to your room, because I can kind of hear you in the hallway. Don't bend that. Okay, go.
By the way.
Yes.
I'll come back and show you the thing I used instead of made my own like envelope.
Oh, okay.
Oh, by the way, as well, what's our next segment going to be?
The next segment is a lightning round where we're going to talk about several different topics.
So can I be in there to help you choose one of the topics?
We're going
to
talk about WWDC.
WWDC.
It's where Apple announced some of their new products.
Apple!
Yeah, the people who make your iPad.
Apple! It's almost Apple's birthday!
Right. We're going to talk about some hackers getting into a file of information from the Democratic National Committee.
Oh, wait. And, I have to read some.
And we're going to talk about an alligator who grabbed a little boy. And the boy died.
The boy died?
Yeah, the alligator pulled him under the water and he drowned.
What was the name of the kid?
I forget the name.
I forgot his name.
Was a kid?
Yeah, as a kid.
Yes.
He was two.
He was 2 years old.
2 years old?
Yeah.
He didn't have much life at all.
No, he didn't.
Why did he jump into the alligator pond?
I guess he was right by the edge. And the alligator came out and grabbed him. But he was closer than he should have been, but...
But nobody expected that to happen.
Okay, so read your card for your podcast. This is the card reading segment.
Oh, yeah. So, Yvonne, I was going to mention this later, but I did make cards for the podcast and for election graphs.
Cards?
Gotta read mine again first.
Like business cards?
Like business cards.
They keep forgetting.
I made them to
go to... So I'm going to do this one my own first. A-L-E-X-M.
We did that already.
I know. L A. Just in case if they forgot already, like you. .com or a roof. By Alex and Dad. Gaming, videos, and more from Alex. Elementary School by Day. By Day, sorry. YouTube by Day. Sorry, Night.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Alex. Okay. We need to finish. We need to go to sleep.
A.com.
Yep. Okay.
You read your card.
Yes. Curmudgeon's Corner weekly podcast. Sam and Yvonne talk about the issues of the moment, from politics to tech to anything else that strikes their mind. Curmudgeons-corner.com. I did this because I'm going to that convention this weekend, and I wanted some things to hand out for that. And
oh, okay.
And the backside is election graphs, and has some election graphs.
Did you print them at home, or did you get them printed somewhere?
No, I actually got them printed. I'll send you some.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I'm good to be with you for the next segment.
Okay, I'll let you go now. Okay. Okay, here we are. So let's do a quick lightning round. My ears. My headphones are acting up again. My headphones. Let me take that one out. So, WWDC, Yvonne. Any thoughts?
I mean, there was a lot of announcements. So, iOS 10, the OS X is not OS X anymore. It's Mac OS again. What was it? Sierra? Sienna?
Yes, Sierra is the new one. So, Sierra, so the quick summary, here's an article.
OS.
A brief summary of what transpired at Apple's 2016 WWDC.
WWDC!
I don't know what this website is that I'm looking at. Here, let's go for a better one. You know, Google has... I'm not even on Google. What am I thinking? Let's try Google.
That could be helpful.
I was on DuckDuckGo, which I use most of the time, but every once in a while, it's just sort of like...
DuckDuckGo!
Not as nice as it should. And it just had a bunch of spammy results there. Okay, so BuzzFeed's summary, Apple's biggest announcements from WWDC 2016, published on June 13th. Let's see. We had a new thing for teaching kids how to code that'll be out later this year. They did some stuff on privacy, that they're doing a bunch of research to make it so that they can do all kinds of neat AI learning things on your pictures and videos and stuff while not transmitting all that data to the cloud in an identifiable way. They're updating iMessage to have some other weird features and sort of apps inside it.
Right.
There
was a rumor they were going to also launch it for Android, was my understanding.
There was that rumor, but it did not materialize.
Okay.
They're going to do voicemail transcription. So when you get a voicemail, and you'll actually be able to get the text of it without
that's
necessarily
awesome.
Listening to it.
That's super awesome.
Again, this is something like Google Voice has had forever. So it's not like a brand.
But Google Voice is not your Android phone. It's a separate service. I get it. I have it from Vonage. I mean, as well, for like a thing, but I'm like, I mean having integrated with a phone is nice. I mean, because I haven't seen that from a right. phone.
Now the question is, how good is the recognition? Like, if it's typical for these things,
my Vonage one is not bad. I gotta admit, it's useful for the most part.
Yeah. Does it work is it machine recognition, or because some of these services actually have humans listening to
voicemail?
No, it's
machine recognition.
Okay.
And like, you know, and it will identify, like, you know, and it also, it will do both Spanish and English. Mm. And sometimes, you know, it struggles with a language and it might tell me that it couldn't recognize the language. And so whatever can transcribe it. But for the most part, you know, I get, you know, call comes in, I get an email, left a message, and it's just, you know, it's perfect, you know, I get, oh, so and so forth called. Oh, okay, great.
That's it. You know, beautiful.
There you go.
You know,
they announced updates to the home automation stuff. They're redesigning Apple Music because everybody thought it sucked.
I mean, the interface was not the greatest. I will be one to admit.
You know, I haven't had too much problem with it, but, you know, whatever. A lot of people did.
I mean, you could use it. I mean, I just thought, you know, this could be done better.
Right.
And I think Apple agreed. So
then iOS 10, then they announced, has a whole...
supposed to help Dad.
Okay, we're doing other stuff now, please.
No, you
can come back
segment.
To help say goodbye.
No, I'm helping you with your next segment.
No!
What?
I need you to let me and Yvonne do this right now. You can come back to say goodbye.
You
already helped some.
I
want to help
more. You've already
lost
your pretzel bites and you've already lost your electronics.
I did not lose.
Then get out here.
I did not lose my pretzel bites.
Then get out here. I told you I can't even do the pretzel bites because we're...
Okay, iOS 10 has a whole bunch of stuff inside it, better photo recognition.
I saw a face recognition is going to be built into the phone.
Yeah, which is one of the things that was absent. Like, you had it on a computer, but not on the phone.
Not on
the
phone. Right.
They're updating maps and doing a bunch of stuff on the Mac.
It's a lot of little stuff.
And on the Mac, they're adding Siri to the Mac. Like you said, they're renaming OS X to or OS 10 to Mac OS. On the TV, they're doing single sign-on, which is pretty cool on Apple TV. A few new things on the watch. I don't know. It's the usual. I don't know. It's sort of, there are a bunch of cool stuff here. A lot of it is stuff that people can legitimately say existed elsewhere before. This is not brand new, innovative stuff that Apple is the first one to do. But they're putting it together. They're adding it to their package. It'll be, there are a number of good updates here. I will want iOS 10 when it comes out. I will want macOS Sierra when it comes out. But there's nothing here that's earth shattering. And I guess it's like, it just shows the expectations they built up over the years that we're disappointed if the announcements aren't earth shattering. But, you know, it's good incremental announcements. Yes?
No, I'm sorry. You broke up.
Oh, well, I didn't say anything important. So moving on from WWDC, the next thing on the list was the breach of the DNC, apparently by Russian hackers. And the one thing they've released so far from that is the 200-page opposition research file on Donald Trump. It's an old one, though. It's from December. So undoubtedly there's more since then. But they released this file, and I have not read the 200 pages. From quick summaries I've read, it appears like most of it's, you know, if you've listened to any of the attacks on Trump over the last month, you know what's in this document. They've basically been running out of this playbook about his failed business deals, about his attitude towards women, other things like that. Basically all stuff you could find by Googling the man.
Right. That's what I kept thinking. I'm like, what? I mean, what the hell's the big deal about this is all I thought. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why somebody would go through the trouble of like hacking this file and like putting it out there for what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What it shows, though, is like, again, I don't know. It's like, you'd think these are like sort of the crown jewels or something that would be fairly closely held. But
is that file really an old document back from December? I mean, I keep thinking about it hacked. I mean, you know, really, I keep wondering how many people the DNC had the file.
You're right.
You know?
It's probably a decent number of people. And it's not like this stuff is a secret either. Like I said,
right.
This is what they've been saying publicly about the man.
Exactly.
The advantage, the damage from a leaked file like this would happen if it came out before you actually used the material in it. Like,
right.
you had something on Trump that you were holding in reserve to use as a kill shot at a specific moment in the future. And
right.
And all of a sudden, it comes out now. Now, of course, even then, it's still negative to Trump. You know, it's not like I believe, you know, Trump was, I think, implying that they may have even leaked this on purpose. Because of course it's a file full of stuff against him, you know? So yeah. Anyway, I don't think this is too interesting other than the usual sort of security stuff about how easy it is to hack things and get access to stuff. And, oh, look, there's their opposition file against Trump, or at least their early opposition file. I would hope that they've been digging a lot more into stuff, and probably we will see, you know, various new things about Trump over the next few months. And not necessarily things, by the way, that had not been public in the past. Often these kinds of things are, you know, reminding people at a strategic point about things that have happened in the past. Like, you mentioned the Vanity Fair article that talked about him having mental problems, you know, mental health issues, I should say, when he was responding to his company's collapse decades ago. Right. Well, I would not be surprised in the slightest if you start hearing that more from other people.
Sure. You know, think about a difficult situation in which you're president, that I'm like, you know, really, is this the man that you want, like, there and facing the pressure?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what happened.
The Democrats have to do that carefully, because they don't want to sort of, you know, necessarily stigmatize mental illness and depression.
It's not
and
a thing about
like
mental
that,
illness.
But
I think
the same
it's
time,
about how you handle pressure.
Yeah. And speaking of that, real quick, before we move on to the alligator, we talked about the dump Trump thing. What I'm also seeing some speculation, and you and I had actually talked about this offline, I think, of Trump himself at some point saying "fuck this" and dropping out.
That, oh my God! You imagine what? Can you imagine the chaos?
Yeah.
My business is suffering too much. The hell with it. I'm out.
Yeah, I have not been treated fairly.
I'm out.
And the question is, like, how much chaos, what exactly would happen would depend on the timing of that. Like, the worst possible timing for that would be if he does that, like, at the convention.
Or at the convention, you know, like, right, at the convention.
Like, before he's officially nominated. Like, at the, like, 5 minutes before the roll call vote is scheduled, he unexpectedly comes to the podium and says, you know, fuck it, I'm out. You know?
That would be interesting.
Now, because if we get after the convention, when they've also nominated a vice president, then if he drops out, I guess technically the RNC Central Committee or something would have to vote to determine who the new candidate was if it was after the convention. But almost certainly it would be whoever the vice presidential candidate was, unless there was controversy over that.
Then you got to pick another vice president.
Then you have to pick another vice president. Anyway, it would be a
we'll
mess.
Go with,
And if Trump actually does anything like that, then, you know, the people who have been saying that this whole time, you know, this was a pre-planned arrangement with the Clintons, you know,
God.
I don't buy that theory. But the more, you know, again, we keep coming back to, if Trump's actual purpose was to hand the election to Hillary Clinton and destroy the Republican party in the process, there is not a damn thing he would do differently than what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, last thing before we wrap up the show that we briefly mentioned earlier, this alligator at Disney. Now, I particularly wanted to get your your thoughts on what happened here, because I know you go to Disney regularly with your family. And so apparently what happened is the kid got a little too close to a pond or a lake or whatever the body of water was. And I guess it was an area marked that you weren't supposed to get that close. But for whatever reason, that wasn't seen. It was ignored, whatever. And the alligator came and grabbed a 2-year-old kid and pulled him underwater. It doesn't, from what I've seen, it doesn't look like he actually ended up eating the kid, but the kid drowned, and it took him a while to find them. So that's the basic story. As a regular Disney goer with your family, what's your reaction to all that?
Confusion. I don't know.
It's all crazy.
I mean, on the one hand, it seems like a sort of random event, but it's the same. And I talked about this while you were out, the whole situation with the kid in the gorilla exhibit a few weeks ago as well. It really seems like fences, something.
But the thing is, I'm like,
I mean, I recognize the alligators live there, but
it's so rare for this to happen. Look, that place has been open for almost 40 plus years. It never happened before.
Right.
I mean, ever. I've been in that. I mean, I haven't been in that lake. You're not supposed to swim in the lake, okay? we gotten on boats, like, written around in the lake. I mean, I've never actually seen gators, and I've been on boats going around that lake quite a lot of times.
I mean, do you think this is something that could have been avoided by, like I said, fences or something else, or do you think this is just like, hey, it's horrible incident, but it's such a rare event?
I think that one of the things that we're talking about that. They got to review what the procedures that they have again in place are. This lake is man-made, okay? Now it is connected to a big water system, but they have had procedures in place in order to manage that alligators and other animals don't get into that space because of where it is, because the resorts are there, because the people are there. And so they've had a program actively to make sure they don't get there. I mean, somehow, for some reason, I guess something failed in that program this time that they were able to get in. I mean, there are signs there that say you can't swim in there. You never see people swim in there. I mean, I've known a lot of people. I've never swam in there, and I've been there quite a lot of times. I mean, look, at the same time, I don't know. Look, I know that they had come in from out of town, and I will go, like, when you're out of the resorts over there, you'll go into the pool until late. I mean, I've taken my son out to the pool until 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
So the fact that they were out at 9:30, like, playing is not unusual.
The unusual bit is doing it in an area that, you know, it was known that these animals are there.
Yeah, and it's posted for no swimming. I mean, it just is. I mean, but, you know, look, being that you've lived in Florida and I've lived in Florida, and concern for gators is something that we have in our head, okay, mm-hmm. All right? To us, it's a different thing. You know that in bodies of water, whether you're at a golf course or a thing or whatever, you're always thinking about alligators. I always am. I try to avoid them, okay, you know? I go to a body of water like that. I go to the beach. Okay, it's like the sharks are less. You know, that's less of an issue. That we have a lot more gators. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, this is a thing that they'd come in from out of town.
Yeah.
Even though there's signs posted, I guess that's not what they're thinking about is an alligator.
Well, and that's where I'm thinking. Is a sign really enough, or does the sign have to be more explicit and not just say don't swim, but hey, alligator?
And the problem is that the time that they like to feed and they like to do that stuff is at night.
Yeah.
And maybe they just need to close those. I mean, this area is not fenced off at night. It's not like they closed it off at night. Maybe that's something that they need to consider to do that, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
To me and like to everybody over here, it was just, you know, like I said, I mean, it was just, it's like, what? I mean, I was just there, you know, 2 weeks ago. I mean, right there, right where this happened.
Right.
With my son. I was on a boat on that lake right there.
Yeah. Okay. So I let Alex come back in so that we could say goodbye.
All right.
So, Alex, are you ready to help say goodbye? Of course, now he won't talk. Okay, so you have just listened to yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, go to our Facebook page. Like us if you haven't already. Leave comments. See, we read the comment from last week right at the beginning of the show. The guy thought we were stupid, and you know, we appreciate even those kind of comments.
And we didn't argue.
We didn't argue, you know.
Nope.
You know, we'd love it when you leave comments reacting to the things you say or do on the show.
I did respond to him. But
oh, you did? Okay.
I tried to anyway. I don't know if I was successful.
Well, I'll check it out after the show. Anyway, like us on Facebook, tell your friends, all of the usual stuff, review us on iTunes, and subscribe to the show. You know, I know some of you listen just by when you see the announcement hitting play in the post. That's great. But if you subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, then you're sure to get it every week. And I know you wouldn't want to miss us even for a week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next time.
Wait.
Yes, Alex, are you going to help say goodbye? It's time to say goodbye. Ready? He's busy texting my mother.
Oh, that's good.
How do you make it send?
By the way, the one thing I forgot, my sister honeymooned at that hotel.
Ah. Yeah. Okay, well, Alex, are you going to say goodbye? This is last chance. Okay, goodbye, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.